Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thank you for joining me today. What a great show we had last night. I know I just peaked the mic a little bit, no big deal. I'll try not to do that too much today. Anyway, what a great show last night. I first wanted to thank everybody who showed up, you know, listened to the show, came into chat, you know, or used any kind of method they could to get messages to Grimner. It was so awesome to have him here with us last night for a while. And so I just wanted to explain this BitChute post I have of last night's show. Trying to avoid, you know, some copyright hits, so I was trying to make the show private. So it wasn't just out in the public for anybody to go listen to on BitChute. But I'm going to open it up for a couple days. So probably after the show today, I'll go in and make it public. And you guys can go listen to it. And then I'm going to be taking it down probably by Tuesday, unless it gets taken down before that. We'll see. But again, just thanks everybody for, you know, for saying hi to Grimner. And, you know, we're so fortunate to have the opportunity to say goodbye to a friend before they go. And I just thought it was pretty awesome that people showed up that, of course, I don't know, because I've only been here, what, 10 months or something like that. But it was awesome. I just thought it was great, and I just really appreciate everybody who came in. And I hope you got to catch the last hour. It was pretty dang funny. I'm pretty sure Grimner went to sleep or said he was gonna log off or something. Wanted to rest, and that's cool. And maybe he'll catch the last hour on BitChute. I don't know. All right, so fun stuff for today. I always want to include something fun, you know. I do have kind of a good story article that I read that is interesting to me. But first I wanted to talk about something that just came up today, which I think is really kind of interesting. And I really just started thinking about it the last few minutes, and I was wondering how this is going to play out. One sec. Got to mute myself for a minute. Okay. I had a personal note. I had to go get a COVID test today because I'm having that cataract surgery later this week. And, you know, you got to have a COVID test so you're allowed in the hospital or whatever. And I'm telling you, man, that thing, like last time it didn't bother me at all. But this time, I don't know if they actually like tickled my brainstem or what, but it was pretty intense. So I'm still getting, you know, some, like my eyes watering and stuff from that. And it was a couple hours ago. Anyway, I told my wife as soon as they did, I go, yeah, they probably just gave me COVID with that stupid swab, which, you know, could or couldn't be true. I don't know. Okay, so here's what I wanted to talk about. This is kind of crazy. At least I thought it was crazy. So Disney, who owns a bunch of channels, like, and especially ESPN is what really started hitting me when I saw this. We have YouTube TV because it's easy. My wife wants certain shows on there, so that's the best streaming service that we could get. It also had, you know, the ESPN packages, which are owned by Disney. So last night, I get this message. Maybe it was this morning. No, I think it was last night. No, it was this morning. They, YouTube TV sent an email out saying, oh, by the way, we negotiated with Disney as much as we could in good faith, and we couldn't come to an agreement. So all the Disney channels and all of the channels they own, including the ESPN sports channels, are being taken down immediately, and we're going to reduce your monthly fee by $15. And at first I was just like, what big deal, it's Disney, you know. Well, here's the big deal. the big deal is, I think last night started off the college football bowl game season. And I would imagine there are a ton of bowl games on ESPN. So what I was thinking, you know, Disney being typical corporation, you know, their only desire is profit. You know, if you believe that a corporation cares about their customers, they don't. They care about their customers' money. That's it. So with this bowl season now and them taking out all of the, you know, college bowl games, or I'm not going to say all of them, but a significant portion of them, and actually some NFL games only appear on ESPN, there's going to be some kind of a loss of revenue, I think. Because I'm thinking, I was thinking to myself, I like college bowl games. Do I like them that much? No. Like, can I live without them? Yes. Am I going to live without them? Yes. Will I find something else to entertain myself with? Of course I will. I sit at this computer for all the hours. I'm not doing something else. Well, I'm not stuck. Yeah, that's probably true. You know, looking for something to entertain me, whether it be a news story, some hypocrisy I can talk about, or, you know, whatever, just something I'm interested in. I love watching this guy called the Missionary Bush Pilot who flies in Papua New Guinea. I think he's pretty awesome. And it's also very relaxing because he just, like, does these 30-minute videos where he's flying from one, you know, remote area to another. And he makes very little comment, but it's entertaining enough. It's like half-hour flights and interesting, you know, entertaining and relaxing. I like it. Another podcast I've been listening to lately is called Morbid, a true crime podcast. And I got to tell you, it's such, for me, kind of such a dichotomy, because these two young women are in the Northeast, I don't know, Massachusetts, I think. And they're young enough, like probably 30 and 20-something. Let's say 30-something and 20-something. And I would say they do a really good job of covering the cases that they cover, and it's entertaining because they bounce stuff off of each other, and they have a really good interaction with each other. They're somehow related, like sisters or something like that. I don't know. But on the other hand, they say some of the stupidest stuff, like outside of the cases they're working on. For example, when they comment on, in their shows over the last 2 years, they comment on COVID all the time, and they're constantly telling people to get vaccinated so we can get back to normal life. And you never hear, like, you can just tell they're the kind of people who don't ever hear the other side of the story and wouldn't even consider the other side of the story. And I don't know if that's how all the people in the Northeast are, Northeast of the United States, but it's kind of funny to listen to them. But again, entertaining. I mean, it's entertaining to me. They cover, crime scenes and murders from the last hundreds of years, even going back some medieval cases they'll cover once in a while. So my point is, you know, is this like a good move by Disney? Like, was Disney thinking, yeah, we're going to cut off coverage of the college bowl season, and we're going to take our slice of the NFL pie, and all of these people are going to come running to Disney? And I got a feeling they're going to be a little bit disappointed. And I think maybe once they realize how much revenue they're going to lose, they'll probably get back in the negotiations with YouTube TV, and, you know, they'll be back in there. You know, it's kind of funny. I started doing the, what do they call it when you're not when you're not connected to a cable service, you know. So we started streaming everything maybe 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. It's been quite a while now. And it was kind of scary at first because, you know, we were kind of wondering, you know, are we going to get the stuff that we actually like to watch? And what I was hoping for, and what I still really hope for, is that at some point, I just like a menu where I can select which channels I would prefer to pay for and just pay for those. I know it's not going to happen because, you know, as we can see, Disney owns a bajillion channels. They're not going to let you just get whatever channel you want. You're going to have to buy the package, and so that's never going to happen. So, but you know what? Actually, I think the world is kind of changing so much that you're going to start getting more and more kind of independent shows. I would say like mine, but not really. I mean, sort of, where you can just go and be entertained by what you want to be entertained by. And, you know, that particular entity won't be owned by anybody. I mean, if they're smart. And, you know, not influenced by anybody. I can't tell you how crazy it is, but I think most of you guys who are in this chat room and visit Real Liberty Media, you guys all know that, you know, you when some news, air quote, story breaks, you hear the exact same words no matter what news source you listen to in mainstream media. It's like they've all been, you know, sent the script and they all pick out a few of the key words to make sure they use those in their story. And it doesn't matter if you're on one side of the political spectrum or another, you're going to hear the exact same words used in those stories. And, you know, people who have independent, people who are independent thinkers and seek out independent sources for their information, they get a completely different story. And I think that's what I'm hoping that's what entertainment is turning to. I know that that's what I do. I don't go to the TV to watch TV. I go to the TV to watch the sports teams I'm interested in, the local news, even though I got a great story about the stupid local news. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you now. And I might have covered this earlier in the week because I can't remember if it was before last week's show or this week, but I've been thinking about it all week. This was like the stupidest thing ever. Okay, not, but because there's plenty of stupid things to go around these days. But my local news people did a story when the moronic variant came to Oregon, and they said three cases have shown up in the Pacific Northwest of the, you know, moronic variant. And they said all three people were fully vaccinated. And I kid you not, as soon as they finished that story, they brought on the local frickin' health authority who's talking about what you can do to avoid getting the Omicron variant, the moronic variant. And what do you think that person said? Get vaccinated. Get your booster. And I thought to myself, like, whoever is the I don't know what that person is called who decides what stories go in what order. I know somebody in the chat can help me. It's not Maybe it's editorial director or something like that. I don't know what they're called. But how could you possibly put those two stories that close together? Number one, a story about the three people in the Pacific Northwest who got the Omicron variant, and they were all fully vaccinated, and the very following story, you know, the local health authority telling you that the best thing you can do is get vaccinated and keep getting your boosters. I mean, that person had to absolutely not be thinking at all about whatever it was, like how the show should flow. I guess because both stories were about the Omicron variant, maybe that's why they put them together. I mean, did they even read the information that was in those two stories? Like what? Like, I don't know. It just seems like you should not put those two things together if you actually wanted people to take one or the other of those stories seriously. But sadly, I think the problem is that people, sheeple, are they're just that gullible that they don't question what they hear and see anymore. And while I'm on this subject, I don't know, I didn't put a link in my show notes for this. I will put a link in the show notes so you can go check it out if you want when I post this show. And that was this, and I think I talked about this last week, but I mean, maybe I didn't. This last week, I don't know, man, I've lost control. I seem to be a little bit less organized than I have been. I can't remember what I did last week or, you know, I guess we've done a few shows. That's one thing. I guess I've done a few shows in the last week and I'm not sure what all of them covered. Okay, but, back on track here. So, James Corbett, did a show and he was talking, I think it was James Corbett, yeah. He did a show and he was talking about creating your own newspaper. And I really want you guys to go check this story out. And I'll put a link to Corbett and I'll put a link to the guy who actually started this. But he actually started making printing, having his own newspaper printed. And it has actually become a really big deal because, you know, everybody knows that newspapers are failing because newspapers follow the mainstream media. They tell you the same crap that you hear on mainstream media. But you can do your own newspaper and you can be an independent source, an independent provider of source material. And this is, I'm going to kind of give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of what this person is doing. Number one, he formats a document. He goes to the internet and he grabs information from the internet and he places it in those documents. And then he also creates a QR code and he puts that in the newspaper. Now, I am going to do this here in this area. I'm not going to do it personally. I think I might provide the links and stuff for somebody, and I will pay for the printing, but somebody else is going to have to actually kind of do the footwork for me because I just can't do it. And I think I can find some people to do it. But the bottom line is, then you go stand on the street corner and hand that paper out. And that paper doesn't have any mainstream media crap in it. It only has stuff that's going to make people smarter or at least make them think. And yes, maybe it'll stir up some controversy. Maybe it'll start some conversations. But those conversations are not going to happen the way we get our information now. And by me, I don't mean most of the people who come to Real Liberty Media. I'm talking about new people who are looking for liberty and freedom and looking for source material, looking for the truth. They may not know where to find it. So if we can provide that information for them, if we can start energizing some people to be more active, and I don't mean politically active, I mean active, and I won't say any other kind of active, but let's just say I'm not talking about, you know, energizing people to vote, because if we've learned anything in the past few hundred years, it's that voting doesn't work. Nothing has ever been solved by the people in federal or state government. it just doesn't happen. The only thing they do is sit around and try and figure out how to make and write new laws so somebody feels good about it, and they can claim that they had some success while they were in office, so when they go to run for re-election, they get re-elected. But I did a show a few months ago about how many new rules, laws, and regulations are created, and it's astounding the number of new, let's just simplify it and say regulations, we are hit with every single year. So we know that doesn't help. We just become more and more enslaved by, continuing down this same path. So the newspaper thing, I think it's a really good idea. It's been a tremendous success. If you can't do it, maybe you know somebody who can, but the article will be there. You can go check it out yourself and see if it's something you'd like to do. I live in a town, there's like 5,000 people. It would be so easy to print up a couple thousand of these little, couple page newspaper, pamphlets or whatever you want to call it, and just hand them out and then tell everybody, hey, I'm going to be back here next Thursday, and keep handing them out. And eventually maybe you'll start, having people pay for them or something. And, but the bottom line is it's really not about money. It's about information. It's about giving people information that they're not getting right now. Because as we all know, you are not going to get the truth from your TV. You are not going to get the truth from YouTube or Twitter or Facebook or Amazon or Google. You're just not going to get the truth from those sources anymore. And censorship is a huge thing, but they can't censor the printed word. So once it's in print, once it's in black and white or whatever color you decide to do it in, and you have those QR codes so people can. So here's the point. It's kind of a blend of, old technology, the printing press, with new technology, the internet. Because you can, a person can take their cell phone, which, we all know, even the homeless people have cell phones. People can take their cell phone, hold that newspaper up, scan the QR code with their phone, and it'll take them right to the website where they can read more information about whatever you've put in that newspaper. So you don't even have to be, I would say, like really talented at writing or creating or being creative or artistic with developing this thing. You could keep it pretty brief, almost like sound bites, almost like word bites, sentence bites in your paper. And people could, when they see a story, like maybe you say something crazy, like you think Fauci should be arrested and, tried and executed, and they think you're crazy. And then you send them to all these places where there's plenty of information showing what a crackpot this guy is. And, maybe they go on there and you change their mind. Maybe you convince them, start a conversation with them where they start spreading that news. And anyway, they get to go and see it for themselves. Well, until maybe those sources are taken down. But mostly, I think source information is kind of hard to... No, it's not. It wouldn't be hard to make it disappear. But they make it really hard to find. So if you can provide that information in black and white, people can go find it. And I think I like the idea myself. I'm kind of busy for it right now, but I think I could actually do it. I'm actually waiting for a call back from the local newspaper printing company, because I called them on Thursday and they didn't answer the phone, so I left my number, and he said he only works from Monday through Thursday, and I didn't get a call back, so I figure it was kind of late in the day Thursday too, so I figure I'll probably hear from him Monday or Tuesday, and I'll find out how much it costs to print up a few pages, and you know, I'll do one and take it to a couple people I know who I think would be good at that and see if they want to do it, take it over for me. And I'll even volunteer to send them some links from the stuff that I talk about. Okay, moving. Wait, I think I'll do the fun thing first. Yeah, okay, so here is an interesting, I thought was an interesting story, and it's not going to actually pan out probably as the way you think it might, but this story is about Vikings, what I think is appropriate, because Grimnir's a Viking, and this says, the rise in sea level 2,000 years ago caused Vikings to leave Greenland, and I always tell people when we start having these climate change arguments that that Greenland was named Greenland for a reason a long time ago, and it's because it was green. It wasn't because it was frozen. And I've heard that, maybe it's a myth, maybe not, but we do know that Greenland had a very lush vegetation, and does, I think, sometimes. But anyway, so 2,000 years ago, I'll just read a little bit of the story. It says, not even the mighty Vikings could stand against climate change. The Vikings are remembered as fierce fighters, but even those mighty warriors were no match for climate change. Scientists recently found that ice sheet growth, which is kind of strange, and sea level rise, which everybody's telling us that as this, you know, as the polar caps melt, the sea level's going to rise and we're going to drown and we're killing the planet, blah, blah, blah. And sea level rise led to massive coastal flooding that inundated Norse farms and ultimately drove the Vikings out of Greenland in the 15th century. The Vikings were first established... Oh, my cat's going to help me read this story. That's hilarious. The Vikings first established a foothold in southern Greenland around AD 985 with the arrival of Erik Thorvaldsen, also known as Erik the Red, a Norwegian-born explorer who sailed to Greenland after being exiled from Iceland. Other Viking settlers soon followed, forming communities. I'm not going to read all that. Around the 15th century, signs of Norse habitation in the region vanished from the archaeological record. Researchers previously suggested that factors such as climate change and economic shifts likely led to the Vikings to abandon Greenland. Now, new findings show that rising seas played a key role by submerging miles of coastline, according to the data presented at December 15th at the annual conference of the American Geophysical Union held this week in New Orleans. Between the 14th and 19th centuries, Europe and North America experienced a period of significantly cooler temperatures known as the Little Ice Age. Under these chilly conditions, the Greenland ice sheet, a vast blanket of ice covering most of Greenland, would have become even bigger. A doctoral candidate in the Department of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Harvard University said at a presentation at the AGU conference, as the ice sheet advanced, its increasing heaviness weighed down the substrate underneath, making coastal areas more prone to flooding. At the same time, the increased gravitational attraction between the expanding ice sheet and large masses of sea ice pushed more seawater over Greenland's coast. The two processes could have driven widespread flooding along the coastline, exactly where the Vikings were settled. So kind of what's interesting about that when you think about it, so the environmentalists who believe in man-made climate change and how we're killing the planet, when they talk about the ice sheets melting, they always talk about how it's going to flood, you know, coastal areas and remove so much landmass and blah, blah, blah. But what's funny about this, it was actually the ice sheets growing that led to the flooding of these farmlands and caused the Vikings to leave the area, if that's true. It's a theory, right? I mean, it's kind of an experiment they did, but it's kind of funny that it was the increase in ice that caused the substrate, the grounds, to sink a little bit. I'm thinking that Greenland must be maybe kind of boggy in those areas. I don't know. But, I mean, it seems kind of crazy that, you know, you could have so much weight in an ice sheet that it actually, presses the earth down enough to cause flooding. But, hey, you know, I guess it could happen. Okay, where are we at? 33, we're doing good. Anyway, I just love the story because it was about, you know, air quotes, climate change. And it was exactly the opposite of what I was thinking. But it kind of does also support my argument that Greenland was greener at, you know, some time before it was named Greenland, or when it was named Greenland. Oh, goodness. And then it had this mini ice age that caused flooding, and, you know, I just loved it. Okay, I think Pebbles has found something. Now, nope, she's coming back. She'll help me with the next story, too, probably. Okay, I thought this was crazy. So, the Food and Drug Administration is asking a judge to give it 75 years to produce data concerning the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine. There's so many things wrong with this. But you know how I am about hypocrisy, right? So, shortly after finding this story about how Pfizer, or how the Food and Drug Administration needs 75 years to produce data concerning the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine, I came upon this story. The FBI has the ability to see some of the contents of iMessage and collect metadata from WhatsApp in as little as 15 minutes, according to recently published internal Bureau documents. And that's exactly what I was thinking when I read this story about the Food and Drug Administration needing 75 years to produce documentation about the, you know, jab juices that they've said. Yeah, Pebbles is my cat. She's a Bengal cat, beautiful cat. I'll put pictures up of her somewhere. Why would you need 75 years to produce the documentation that you just created in basically 20 months, 24 months or whatever? I mean, there can't possibly be that much paperwork. So much paperwork that you have to redact so many things that you can't get it done in less than 75 years. And yet here the FBI can see, you know, can kind of go through, can parse data in 15 minutes, you know, from the entire flipping world, for crying out loud. I don't know. Like with artificial intelligence, with the power of computers today, I mean, can't you just tell your Word doc program to search for words like "we kill people" and then replace them with blankety blank, blank blank? It wouldn't take that long. You know, it wouldn't take that long to say, oh, the vaccine that, you know, we produce creates cardiac inflammation, you know, or, yeah, the vaccine we produce causes blood clotting, you know, and strokes. Okay, so you use your little word search program and you search for blood clot or blood and clots and heart and inflammation, and you redact those words, right? Or whatever. Literally could be done in minutes. I don't care how many pages they have. Literally could be done in minutes. And it's funny, man. What's really crazy is that those of us who have grown up with the computer age, like those of us who remember the time when there was, well, no such thing as a personal computer, to now where the little computer that you hold in your hand is far more powerful than the, you know, computers that they were using to parse data with 50, 60 years ago. We all know, like, what databases are, like, how data is stored, how you can, you know, parse it. And how do, I just don't understand how the governments, these businesses, these corporations, except that, I mean, I've watched the public education system also for the last 60 years, and we're not producing geniuses out there by any means. I mean, there may be a few self-motivators, but pretty much the herds are just getting dumber and dumber. Because why don't they know this? I mean, you know, it also kind of struck me last year during the lockdown when everybody was complaining about kids, you know, the technology was so difficult. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. These kids, all they know is technology. I mean, most of them for the last 20 years, well, they wouldn't be 20 years old and be in school still. Well, you know, school. So most of them have grown up with some kind of device in their hand. Most of them know what that technology is. Most of them know how to use it. But for some reason, when they had to use it to do, you know, homeschooling, they didn't really like it so much. You know, they like it for, you know, texting and talking to their friends and, you know, TikToking so they could eat Tide Pods and choke themselves until they choke to death. But as far as like learning school, and they didn't like that. But here we have, I mean, such great technology could easily parse those documents. They don't need 75 years. They need 75 years so that people die, so that everybody forgets what the hell they did now. That's what they need 75 years for. I thought it was also interesting that as Biden's failures really start showing up, they decide to release, 1,500 pages of JFK documents that, you know, we haven't been able to get released in the past 60 years. But for whatever reason, in the last week, they decided this would be a good time. I'm sorry. Sometimes, like, the irony and the hypocrisy both combine, and I just can't help but laugh at them. They're ridiculous. Where are we going next? I don't know. Let's see. I did want to get to this. Ooh, you shouldn't on your mic, right? I'm an amateur. Okay, we're going to do this story. Hey, but I wanted to tell you guys one thing. If you haven't seen the video on how to make chloroquine, I will also post that video in my notes. I don't know what the difference between hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine is, but chloroquine apparently is extremely easy to use. And yes, I'm going to post it and let you guys do what you want with it. I think it's awesome. I'm going to do it. And we are going to keep some, three grapefruits and three lemon peels. So three grapefruit peels and three lemon peels. That's correct. And you boil them, slow boil for 3 hours, strain it, and drink it. So there you go. There's one of the two forbidden medications that help treat whatever this stupid virus is they've created to kill us all. All right, the public health mafia. This is a story, and I'm going to read a bunch of it because I don't want to miss anything. And somebody did a really good job on this. The source will be in my notes. Mainly this story, I'm gonna paraphrase a little bit, I guess. Mainly, this story is about how public health officials have become basically the gods or kings running the entire world. And of course, they're led by Anthony Fauci. And apparently, Pebbles really likes this story. She really likes when I'm rattling papers in front of her face, I think. She is a gorgeous cat, by the way. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit of this. Led by boss Anthony Fauci, they have exploited the COVID pandemic to orchestrate a campaign of fear and intimidation to consolidate their power. The public health community is behaving like the mafia. They come offering protection. They control politicians and they threaten businesses that don't accede to their demands. Led by boss Anthony Fauci and comprising many federal, state, and local officials, they have exploited the COVID pandemic to orchestrate a campaign of fear and intimidation to consolidate their power, and they have no plans to give it up. Right. The protection racket is based on... Oh, this was Horowitz who wrote this. The protection racket is based on the conceit that if we simply do as they command, we will vanquish COVID. It started with the now infamous 15 days to slow the spread and the effort to flatten the curve to prevent hospitals from being overwhelmed. This quickly turned into 6 weeks and then months of rolling lockdowns and in some areas, more than a year of closed schools. Vaccines, they assured us, were to be the endpoint of the pandemic. But a year after they became available and 8 months after they have been widely available, the medical Cosa Nostra still insists that people who are fully vaccinated and boosted need to wear masks in public, even though initially convinced people that masks were ineffective. When the policies that they propose do not produce the promised results, and as one variant after another surfaces, the response is to argue that we have shown insufficient respect to them and that we need to make amends by being more loyal to their guidance. It is not only the public to whom the public health mafia offers protection, but also politicians. Any politician who defies the order of the public health community can expect blistering media coverage whenever there is a surge in cases, as has been the case with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Politicians who follow public health guidance might not be protecting their constituents from the virus, but they are protecting themselves from getting blamed, as with New York Governor Kathy Hochul, by operating with the imprimatur of the family. Recall how it is common to blame Donald Trump for the hundreds of thousands of COVID deaths on his watch. But President Biden, who has deferred to health officials, is spared any blame despite the fact that more people have died of COVID under Biden. And herein lies the essence of the control over political leaders. The current COVID surge, while openly reported on, isn't being framed as Biden's fault because he has agreed to defer to the experts. He is granted protection, and any blame for the persistence of COVID is targeted at those who are challenging his mandates. I don't think that was Horowitz. I think Horowitz is coming up here. Actually, then I went back to that story that I told you before about my local news covering those two stupid stories, one after the other. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right, I want to read some of these things that I thought were really interesting. It says, consider the fact that Cornell University has an ironclad vaccine and mask mandate, yet 3.5% of the entire campus tested positive last week alone. The school now has switched to online learning. Consider the fact that before the NFL season started, 52 of 53 players on the LA Rams roster were vaccinated. Now they lead the league with 11 players on the COVID list. Now this story is only a couple days old. Consider the fact that Newton, Massachusetts, has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world, with 97% of the entire population vaccinated, including 99% of 12 to 15-year-olds and 87% of 5 to 11-year-olds. Yet despite this and indoor mask mandates, the town has more cases than this time last year and is likely headed toward a record. Consider the fact that a country like South Korea barely recorded deaths during the entire pandemic, but now has many more cases and deaths with nearly all adults vaccinated and one of the highest vaccination rates for a country that large, over 50 million people. Consider the fact that England and France, both with very high vaccination rates and large prior COVID waves, have recently set case records. Like Portugal, with the highest double vaxxed rate in Europe, now has more cases during the winter peak. Let me see. There is nowhere to run or hide from the growing observation that the closer we come to universal vaccination rates in many countries, the worse the pandemic has become. We have always known that leaky vaccines have the potential to create viral enhancement, which we've seen that constantly, but the recent data is unmistakable. At the same time, the COVID cultists are panicking over an emerging variant that actually might be the mildest of all, while mainly affecting the vaccinated, a perfect refutation to the mass vaccination push. All signs point to the need to suspend the shots and focus exclusively on monoclonal antibodies and other early treatment. Or is there an ulterior motive? At this point, we better pray that Omicron becomes dominant in the United States as quickly as possible. The most devastating observation of 2021 is that more people have died from COVID under the mass vaccination regime during the existing variant than before there was a single jab. According to CDC's data table for daily death trends, there have been 127,184 COVID deaths from September 1st through November 30th this year, which is 45% greater than the 87,829 recorded deaths over the same period in 2020, and some of the deaths from this year are still lagging and likely to be updated. And remember, I have said for months that we will need to get herd immunity by having everyone get exposed. What is currently going on is the mass execution of the population by someone who has experience with this sort of thing. Now, if you haven't listened to my previous shows on Dr. Fauci, I invite you to do so. I think there's a ton of information in there. There's some great interviews out there with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that I also have posted in my show notes on those previous shows. But I'm not kidding. I have been saying, as a matter of fact, my wife and I were talking last night, I think, about this whole COVID thing. And she said that when this thing first started out, I said that this was going to go on forever and ever if we didn't just let it happen. We need herd immunity. All this stuff that's going on, Fauci has done this before, and he's killed thousands of people before. He has experience with being a failure at what he does. It isn't new. It's just a larger population and a bigger lie, I think, to everybody. But anyway, yeah, Rochelle was telling me that, you know, when we first went into lockdown here and I was sitting at home, I said, well, you know, there's only one way out of this. It doesn't matter, you know, what all the politicians do. It doesn't matter what all these public health people do. The only way to get out of this is herd immunity, And we're not going to do it by isolating people and pretending that some, you know, half-baked vaccine is going to do it. It's not. And obviously, we have only made things worse. The public health mafia has made things worse. And you know, I've talked about this before. I was in the U.S. Public Health Service. I was a member of the U.S. Public Health Service for, I don't know, 20 years. Let's see, 89 to 2005. What is that? 16 years? And I've said before, you know, we weren't the best and the brightest the world had to offer. I mean, I certainly wasn't the best or the brightest that the world had to offer to go to work for the Public Health Service. But I got really good benefits. I got to retire in 2005 from that job. I get a check every month, which is awesome. But my point is, you know, these people have come together from whatever background they have. They go sit in these meetings, you know, they're like, oh, they're big deals now because they work. They have a title with, you know, some government stamp of approval on it. And I can even see myself in some of these meetings, like stuff that, you know, kind of happened around 9/11 that I was involved with. You know, you get a bunch of people together, and we're like, I've never done this before. Like, what are we going to do now? And they kind of start talking amongst each other, and they're all kind of right there in the government hole, you know, where they don't get good input from outside. Because they're the government, they're the only authority present in their little meetings. Or because they're the government, they only choose people to be in those meetings that will give them the information that they're hoping to promote, or they're hoping to get, you know, a blessing on moving forward with. So it could be the absolute worst thing in the world for the population, but because they don't have good information, because they didn't take their information from many different viewpoints, from the true experts in the world, who may be in institutions of higher learning, they may be in corporations who are studying something, they may be in nonprofit organizations who know how something works in a certain part of the world. Instead of getting the best information, they just get the information that they want to support whatever actions they're going to take. Trust me. You guys all know. You've seen. I mean, look who we have. Somebody said last night during the show, I think in the chat room, I think maybe Grimner even said something about, look at the last election. Look at the two idiots that people who vote had to choose from. It's like, seriously, that's the best we can come up with to you know, be the president of the United States of America? Really? I'm telling you, if you're coming to Real Liberty Media and you happen to listen to my show, I want you to seriously think, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, whatever, those two people are the best we could do out of all of the people in the entire United States, and I guess some other countries that allow people to run for president here in the United States. That's the best we could do. Biden and Trump. That was our choice. Two old white guys. So much for diversity. Well, man, we cruised through that. That was awesome for me. It was fun. I actually didn't have to stop and drink too much. Or maybe you just heard me stop and drink. Anyway, thanks, you guys. I think Hal Anthony be on tomorrow. I don't know what's really coming up this week as far as shows. I can guarantee you we're going to be doing some shows this week. Remember, I guess just because I want your, you know, prayers and thoughts for me too. And Grimner especially, it's going to be a wild week for him and his travels. I won't be here on Tuesday, probably for much of anything, because Tuesday I'm having my cataract surgery, my second one, and you know, it's one of those days for sure. But if anybody wants anything from me, any broadcast help, any tech support, whatever, I will be available most of this week for that, because Tuesday I'll be off from Tuesday through Sunday, so I'm going to be taking it easy. Thanks again for joining me. I'll see you guys all probably in the chat room and later on. Thanks.